welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Yeah, so I have the easy topic of sharing who God is. Yeah. That is quite intense, and I don't think I'll cover this amount of it. But that's what God wants me to share about, so that's what I'm sharing about. First off, I want to create a baseline, basically. I just want to set the platform before we go there, so that we're all on the same page. And I have three examples that I want to talk about. The first one is, let's say you're a medicine student, first year, and you get all your books, however much that is. And you get all these cool books, and you're excited about it, because you're going to learn this is stuff that's really going to change your life. This is knowledge. This is amazing. You read or you scan through it. Some of it you read a little bit, but it's still beginning of the year. So, yes, this is awesome books. You know, can't wait. And then you shift them to the side, and then you go and read everything that is criticizing or does not agree with this, with basic practices of medicine, with what we believe to be correct. Because there's a lot out there, books, articles. So you go and read all of this before you've read through all of this, your medicine books. Just imagine if you were to walk in to a doctor who has done that or is doing that, more focused about the other stuff or critique or ideas out there than what is best practice. Imagine you walk in there and that guy does an operation on you. I think that would be really scary. For me, in any case. Everybody looked quite okay with that. Everybody looks very serious. The second example, I'm a project manager. So in project management, you have basically one book. That's the PIM book. Project Management Book of Knowledge. And that says what is the best practice. In other words, what would 99% of successful project managers do 99% of the time? So that is pretty good. Standards, practices, it's a good idea to listen to that. Now, this book has two good books that you need to read so that you can understand what's going on in the PIM book. To help you understand, and it explains to you what's going on there. But then you have a lot more books that explains to you how you should read the two books so that you would have a clue what's going on. Okay, so that's also quite intense. It's also a nice stack. But just imagine now, you say, wow, this is the truth. I haven't read through all of it, or maybe I've scanned through it, but now I'm going to go and read up a bit about what Saki did. He built a farm, or he built a building, and it's still standing, you know? And yeah, he just winged it, but it's standing, so it's awesome. So if I listen to him first and go and read up what he's saying and base my future project management practices on that, you do not want to be in that building. Do you agree? Yes. Is it very hot? Okay, and then the last one is a forgery example. Philip used it in his sermon, one of his sermons as well, so I'm just pirating there. But it talks about this guy in America, I think it's America, but a journalist goes to him and asks him, listen, you are by far the best in spotting fake money. How do you get it right? Because I've spoken to a lot of different people, And they're doing courses on the newest things, criminals, to how they make fake money, new ink, whatever the case may be. But you're just so much better than them. So how do you do it? Do you just spend all your time reading up or what? And the guy just said, the only thing he does is he focuses on the real money. So he studies that so that whenever anything else passes by, he's immediately able to spot, oh, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong. Okay, so that was my three examples. Everybody still with me? Yes. Some people really look, I don't know, distressed or terrified, I don't know. But I can see all your faces from up here. Okay. So now I want to bring us back to the Bible. I've been saved now for 10 years, thankfully. But in my 10 years, I've not read through the Bible 10 times. I don't know who of you have, but it takes some time reading through the Bible 10 times. Reading through the Bible once takes you quite some time. Okay, so I would not say that I know what is in the Bible. I would not say that I know everything that's in the Bible, all the truths, everything that's correct. Yes, we have the Holy Spirit, so we're cutting a few corners there. But actually what I want to say is just look out. A lot of people, a lot of Christians go and read other books. I'm not saying Christian books is wrong, but read other books that talks about what is wrong with the Bible, what is things you have to look out for, you know. And there's just plainly some ridiculous stuff out there that teaches completely different stuff to the Bible. So just check yourself that you don't go and read so many books and articles about the Bible or people's opinion about the Bible. I mean, even a expert in the field is not older than 100 years at the moment. I think that's safe to say. Do you agree? Yes, you're serious. Okay. So just check yourself. Rather, make sure you read the Bible and study the Bible, because otherwise you will get deceived. Otherwise, you will be lied to because it sounds right. And then when that happens and you read the truth, the Bible, you would do it from a different lens almost. Because, yeah, I remember what that guy said. So if I read this, you know. So, okay, that's just the warning before we kick off. Why is that important? Why is it important to know the Bible? Why is it important to believe the entire Bible from beginning to end? Well, the basic reason is because it tells us who God is. If you do not believe everything in the Bible, then you run serious risk of not believing in the God of the Bible. That makes sense, correct? Do you agree? How's that? Thank you. So just check yourself. There's so many theories running around, so many opinions about, yeah, but that can't be right, or this can't be right. God is God Almighty. He's all-powerful. He can do anything, anytime he wants to. And we can't limit him because we don't understand, or we think we have a better idea, or because of our circumstances. Okay. So now we come to who is God. Now I'm not going to, as I said, to cover that topic is going to take a long, long time. So I'm going to focus on some of the things God has done in the Bible. To just, basically I want us to get out of our box. Because we often, maybe it's not you, but it's me sometimes, I often think of God, yeah, I'm struggling with this, yes, the Bible says this, but I'm experiencing this. So, yeah, maybe the Bible is a bit wrong, or God is not really like that. I sometimes struggle with that. So I want us just to renew our minds, basically. Just for God to come and say again who he is, what he can do in our lives. Okay, so the first example I want to look at is creation. Now, I'm not going to put the, I didn't put the entire chapter on there, otherwise you're going to read a lot, and my English aren't that delicious. So that would just be bad. But I'm going to tell the story. So God decided he's going to create everything. And because he's God, he did it in 6 days. And the 7 day he rested. And then he put in that 6 days, the end of the 6 days, he put man into that, you know, that little smaller than an ant thingy there at the bottom, us running around on the earth. You know, God is amazing. God can create anything he wants to. He can do anything he wants to. Doesn't matter what my circumstance or my understanding is at this moment. The second example is in John 11. You know, a guy is dead. Jesus comes to the tomb and says, open up. And the ladies tell him, maybe not a good idea. It's got a bit of an odor. You know, it stinks. So the guy is dead. And Jesus comes and he raises him. How does that fit in with our picture, with our way of thinking? God can raise anybody who died. God can raise anybody who wished to at any time. If we look at Egypt, so God's nation was slaves in Egypt under Pharaoh. And God decided now he's going to bring them out of Egypt. And then he sent Moses to the Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said, no. And God sent the first plague. And again, Pharaoh said, okay, fine, you can go. No, I love my free labor. So that's not happening. One of the plagues, for instance, was God turned all the water into blood. Just imagine. That would be hectic. Huh? You open your tap and voila. But again, that just shows that God can do anything and is not limited by what we think or what we perceive as reality or what is practical. God created reality. God created whatever is practical. He can do a lot more than that. Then this nation, the Israelites, went out of Egypt, and the Pharaoh decided, nah, I want them back, or I'm going to kill them. But he's after them. They come to the Red Sea, and there they are, starting to complain. And God comes, and he opens up the sea. Just imagine, huh? That would be so cool. Have any of you tried that recently? I suck at that. But that is who God is. He can do it anytime he wants to. In Judges 7, we look at Gideon's famous battle. In all my sermons, there must be a story of a battle. I love it. Okay. So Gideon goes up. Well, this army is coming against them, and he has about 33,000 men. And it says 20,000 of them, when they were given the opportunity, went home because they were scared. So I think it's safe to assume the other army were a bit bigger. So here, in the end, God reduces Gideon's army to 300 men to take on an army over 33,000 big. That's an assumption, but I think it's a good one. And then God comes and creates chaos in their minds inside the camp. 300 guys attack and they win. Just imagine how that would look like in the newspapers on News 24 or whatever. But God can do it anytime he wants to. We have so many wars, we have so many battles, and we are sometimes scared and afraid. But I think it's more our opinion or the way we think, because we forget who God is. We forget that God can do anything at any time. He is all powerful. And then another battle. So Joshua, God says, here's this massive army. I'm going to give you the victory. Go for it. And he goes. And the guys start running away. And then God rains rocks down on them. Just imagine how freaky that would be. Huge rocks. Just where do you go? But God can do it. And then God doesn't kill all of them. So Joshua says, God, you've given me victory. I would really like to do it today. Please make the sun stand still. God says, okay. The whole universe break until he kills all of them. Just imagine what God can do in your life. You know, whatever you're struggling with, whatever is your circumstances, whatever is your desires, your expectations, whatever you're going through, not going through, whatever you want, God is so much bigger than that. I told you my sermon is going to be short. So can the band please come up for us? And then for me, the best example is God Almighty. This God I just showed is all-powerful, can do anything he wants, whenever he wants. And he says he loves us. He chooses to love us. We can't do anything to earn that love. And God says, okay, I'm going to give my only son, Jesus, to this earth, to be born on this earth. Just imagine, you're God Almighty. You can do anything and your son is being bullied or bumps his toe because he's suddenly a human. And then worse than that, when the people decide to crucify Jesus, they first whip him, you know, with a whip, with a lot of different ropes, with balls and spikes at the end, and basically just rips off all the flesh of his back. In those days, if somebody went through a beating like that, you could see his lungs. You know, an almighty God allows that because he loves us. Then his son got crucified, and they put nails through his wrists and through his legs, and he had to hang on that, you know. And that is because God loves you, because God loves me, because he wants to be involved in our lives. Aren't that amazing? So tonight, I just want us to respond to God. If everybody can please stand. Can I ask everybody to please close their eyes? If you are here tonight and you do not know that God, God Almighty, King of heaven and earth, that can do anything, in your life. If you do not know him, if you do not have a relationship with him, and that relationship start by saying, Jesus, I know you died for me on the cross. Please come and save me. I give you my life. Father, I give you my everything. I want to be your son. I want to be your daughter. If you have never come to that place, having a relationship with God, and you want it tonight, I would love to pray with you. We would love to pray with you. So if that's you, if you want to accept Jesus Christ, your Savior, can you just raise your hand? Thanks for that hand. You know, for me, my heart just started beating really, really fast. It felt like it was jumping out of my chest. And I wanted to respond, but my legs were jelly and I couldn't move and I couldn't lift up my arm. And it was a battle inside of me. So I'm going to give you an opportunity again. If that's you, if God is knocking and He's saying to you He loves you and He wants to have a relationship with you, if that is you, just raise your hand. I would love to pray with you. Okay. Last chance for tonight. Just raise your hand. Don't be scared. Okay, thank you. You can drop your hands. If you were maybe just not willing to raise your hand, when we pray now, I would like you just to come forward as well. Can I ask everybody who raised their hands just to come forward? I would love to pray with you. Yes, it's in front of people, but this is for God. This is boldness. This is going to change your life forever. This is the beginning of your new life. Okay, that's fine. When we pray, when other people come forward, please come forward. I would really like to pray with you. Then, as I mentioned in the beginning, what I just felt God says, if you are here and you need healing, physical healing, if you need healing in your life, in the relationships, if you're broken, if you need to be set free, if something is just holding you back, please come forward. Do not leave tonight without allowing God to change your life. Okay. Just come forward, facilitate us. We'll pray in front with you. And then I just want to pray for us. Father, here we are, Father. Come and have your way, Father. Come and do your will, Father. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven, Father. Father, we are tired of trying to make it on our own. We're tired of being held back by this fear or this problem or our circumstances at work or stuff that's keeping us from having your life, your peace, your joy, fullness of knowing you, of hearing your voice. Father, we're tired of that and we just say tonight, Father, come and have your way, Father. Come and be God in our lives. Come and change us forever, Father. We allow you to, Father.
Power to the weak. You raise dead men to their feet. You are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.